Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The history of the Milwaukee County Zoo is as colorful as its animals and attractions. Over the decades, the zoo has collected and acquired diverse animals from all over the world and greatly contributed to the field of zoology. Some animals in particular have stood out in the zoo's history. Besides Samson the gorilla, who may be the zoo's most famous animal, there's the bear who ate his way through the wooden cage and Jacob the hippo, who reportedly only understood German. Authors Mary Kazmierczak, Elizabeth Frank, and Darlene Winter have captured the full history of the zoo in their new book, Milwaukee County Zoo. It's from the Images of America series. They came to Lake Effect to talk with Eleanor Peterson about how the zoo began here and why the city chose Washington Park to be its first location.
The German immigrants who came to Milwaukee believed that a zoo made the city a real city. It was the city had sort of reached its status as a major city in the United States. And so having a zoo became very important to them because they were used to the zoos in their own home country. So German-American groups banded together, and because Milwaukee is such a German city, the city government was also largely German, and they decided to build a zoo in what became first West Park, which was actually outside the city limits of Milwaukee. It was a farm that they purchased the land for the zoo. And then gradually, as they acquired more animals, the zoo developed slowly over time from 12 deer and an eagle to what we have today.
Was the zoo accessible at all? Because if it's outside of the city limits, and this is right when the cars started to come out, how did the Milwaukeeans get to the zoo?
Well, West Park was one of the largest parks in the city park system. There was always public conveyance to the zoo. The zoo proper didn't really develop until the early 1900s when there was public transportation available. West Park originally had a golf course. It had a horse racing track. It was a large tract of land, so it was the place where people went for their summer recreation.
How did the zoo acquire animals without tax dollars? Because the tax dollars was meant for the buildings, but they weren't allowed to spend the money on the animals. So how did they get the animals?
That was really a decision of the Milwaukee Park Commission, that tax dollars couldn't be spent on animals. So they got animals mostly through donations, which is why in 1906 is the first history of the Washington Park Zoo in the Elephant Show booklet. And it talks about the zoo having an eagle and a nasty-tempered goat. they had 200 rats, white rats. One girl donated her guinea pig. So it was a very eclectic collection.
The donations came from the people in Milwaukee or nationwide or internationally?
People in Milwaukee. It really was a Milwaukee organization, and this was how people showed their civic pride. The Park Commission was offered animals that they couldn't take care of. They were offered a leopard or a jaguar, and they didn't have anything to house it. So they turned down some bears early on and finally decided to take a bear cub. And the bear cub did fine, and then they hibernated it in the barn, and in the spring it ate its way out of the barn. So they needed to do something more substantial to contain their charges.
What role did the Washington Park Zoological Society, which is now the Zoological Society of Milwaukee, play in the formation of the zoo?
Well, the Zoological Society actually was formed as a result of not being able to use tax dollars to purchase animals. And so prominent figures in Milwaukee created this Zoological Society for the purpose of taking care and purchasing animals.
What I read in the book was that it's also a private-public relationship.
The Washington Park Zoological Society is now what is considered a 501c3. It was always a private organization, a charitable organization. But on its first board of directors was Ed Bean, who was the zoo director. The secretary of the Zoological Society was Frank Shoemaker, who was secretary of the Milwaukee Park Commission. So in those days, there wasn't this big separation between government and private entities. They raised money for animals. They had a hippo in a week campaign to raise $1,500 to buy a hippo. They gave plays and concerts and did anything they could think of to raise money.
Now, was that hippo named Jacob?
Yes.
He was one of my favorites because he was the one who only understood German.
That's the story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So So it kind of brings out the whole Germanic roots of the zoo.
Well, the Germanic roots go deeply because Otto Kean, who was the first president of the Zoological Society, was a German immigrant, was always interested in animals. He raised birds as a youth and received a medal from Kaiser Wilhelm for his pigeons. He was a merchandise broker, and he traveled often between Milwaukee and Germany. So Carl Hagenbeck was one of the major German dealers, and so a lot of the animals came from Hagenbeck. In the Zoological Society's first annual reports, most of their honorary members are German zoo directors. There are no American zoo directors listed. They are all German zoo directors.
I find it interesting that they would start a deer park when, at least today, deer are fairly common in Wisconsin.
Deer were fairly common then, but as the city developed, it was such an urban environment that a lot of people didn't see deer. When Milwaukee was settled, wolf hunting was a sport in the city of Milwaukee, and I'm sure wolves were extirpated fairly early from the city limits. So again, it was the idea of the parks being the lungs of the city and providing nature for the people who had no nature where they lived.
And deer, you can go in and feed them once they become acclimated to people. You can feed them and pet them. They're not going to bite the children's heads off or fingers off. So it's a sort of safe entree to wild animals.
And then as the Great Depression hits, animals had developed by this point. There's been a wider variety, and we've had more animals from the wild, including the boar. However, they were looking to sell some of the animals to the restaurants. Why was that the case, and were they successful?
Well, it was the Depression, and the zoo, of course, didn't have the money. I mean, they were running out of money to feed these animals. And so they were hoping that the restaurants would take some of the animals off their hands, basically. And so they tried selling them. But fortunately, the citizens of Milwaukee just were horrid by this. And so they put up a big stink that they could not do this.
And those animals were donated by the society. And so it became an issue of, look, we've donated them to you for the enjoyment of the people of Milwaukee. You know, our agreement with you was we donate the animals, you take care of them. And, you know, you can't just start selling them off. This is the common heritage of all the people of Milwaukee.
It was a bone of contention between the Milwaukee Parks Department and the society. That part of the agreement had never really been ironed out.
Because they never thought it was going to get to that point.
Exactly. The society thought, you know, we bought the animals, we donated them to you. They thought they owned the animals, and the Park Commission went, well, no, we own the animals. So it was contentious.
But how did they pull through the Depression then?
They didn't get a lot of new animals during the Depression, so when animals die in captivity, you don't replace them.
They also grew some of
their own food,
on a farm that was given to, you know, for the zoo, and so that helped also.
They also had a pair of Siamese cats and sold Siamese kittens. They raised kittens and sold them as part, and they got money for the kittens that they raised.
How did the county finally decide to move the zoo?
Well, part of it is that the zoo is hemmed in by the city. When it was originally created, Washington Park was on the outskirts of the city. And now, in the 1940s, the city surrounds Washington Park and the zoo. So the zoo had no place to grow. So it was sort of a small zoo. And the Zoological Society, the Washington Park Zoological Society, wanted to grow the zoo so it would continue to be a top-tier zoo throughout the United States and the world. But what really brought about the end of the Washington Park Zoo is the construction of Highway 41, took out the bear dens, which were a very popular feature of the zoo. Milwaukee has always been a bear zoo. We've always had a lot of bears in the collection. And so some of the most popular animals at the zoo were no longer going to be on exhibit because the freeway was going through 41 to the stadium. So that was really what instigated or was the final push to move the zoo to a new location, a larger location.
We can thank baseball.
Then one of the major attractions that is still there today is the Zoo Line. What made the Zoo Line so popular, and how is it one of the biggest, largest non-animal attractions for the current zoo?
We have four engines today, two steam and two diesel. They are actual miniaturized versions. I forget the gauge, like 1/4 the size of a full steam engine or diesel engine. We're one of the few zoos that has a real train. Most of the zoo trains around the country are on wheels that are just on concrete. They built the train line before anything else was built at the zoo. And people could come out and ride the train for free and see the progress of the development of the zoo. So it was a way to...
The train was never free.
The train was never free? Okay.
No, the train was donated by the journal company. And the money from the train went into the animal fund to purchase animals for the new zoo. But it was the first attraction. And
you could come out and ride around the zoo and watch the zoo being built.
And they just never took it out.
No, because it made money.
It's still
very popular.
Yeah, the fund now pays for transportation of animals and pays for the library and archives that we have. So the train fund is still operational and it's still doing a lot of good at the zoo.
What do you hope to accomplish with this book?
I'd like to see people in Milwaukee recognize that the zoo is indeed a cultural gem, an educational gem within the community. We still have a very urban population, and so most children in the greater Milwaukee area don't get to see animals in the wild. And so they can come here, they can learn about animals, they can see the animals. We have a lot of volunteers who work on our remains to be seen carts where we have animal artifacts so they can touch artifacts, skulls, bones, fur, and get a connection to the animals. Because as people connect to animals at the zoo, they then connect to animals in the wild and will work to preserve animals in the wild. And as the human population of the earth continues to grow, areas where wild animals live are becoming increasingly smaller, and there is a lot more human-wild animal conflict. And we're at a stage where, you know, elephants may be extinct in the not-too-distant future. Certainly, orangutans in the wild may be extinct within 10 years. So we're hoping that this book spurs people to come back to the zoo if they haven't been to the zoo in the last couple of years and really see how zoos are different and learn more about animals and how we care for the animals at the zoo, what goes into the care of animals at the zoo, as well as the conservation of animals in the wild.
I'm sure, too, that a lot of people are going to remember the zoo when it was in Washington Park, and they're going to have a lot of fond memories about the neighborhoods there or what have you.
What I hope people see is that how a zoo really is a reflection of its city. I see this as two stories. The story of the Zoological Society is really the story of Milwaukee and mostly German Milwaukee, because the people in Zoological Society were really interested in the zoo as a Milwaukee institution, as part of Milwaukee. And the zoo itself as the development of a profession. Ed Beam came from Illinois. He was always interested in zoo profession. He was one of the founders of the American Zoo and Aquarium Association that is a professional organization today. His descendants are still working in zoos around the country today. So it's two stories that really meld in one institution. The other thing I want people to see is our last chapter is devoted to the efforts that the Zoological Society and the zoo make of conservation in the wild. I don't think we do enough to promote the good work that we do and how important it is.
Well, Darlene, Elizabeth, and Mary, thank you so much for joining us on Lake Effect.
Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Milwaukee County Zoo was written by Mary Kazmierczak, the librarian and information specialist for the Milwaukee County Zoo and the Zoological Society of Milwaukee, Elizabeth Frank, a former zookeeper and curator who now volunteers at the zoo's library and archive, and Darlene Winter, a local author who promotes the zoo through her work. They all spoke with Eleanor Peterson, and there's more from their interview at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Their book was just released earlier this week, and the authors will be signing copies on Saturday from 10 to noon at the zoo and from 2 to 4 at the Barnes & Noble on South 76th Street in Greenfield. We'll go into our performance studio next. Singer-songwriter Slade Cleaves chats with Mitch Tyke and plays a few tunes when we come back. You're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM.